Morning, everybody. Matt DiBala here with you. 720 WGN. We're live from the Allstate Skyline Studio. Joining us on the phone right now is Florence Ann Romano. She is the Windy City Nanny. You can find her at windycitynanny.com. Hey, Florence, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for jumping on the phone with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You had a book out a couple of years ago called Nanny and Me. This is a really neat idea. It's an illustrated book for kids to get used to the idea that it's not just going to be mom and dad anymore, but there's going to be a nanny and somebody else helping take care of them. As a nanny, did you find that that was a rough transition when you were nannying, that kids who had mom and dad around all the time and suddenly had a nanny, was that, I guess I've never really thought about that, the adjustment period that there would be there.
It's exactly why I wrote the book. I saw firsthand how difficult that transition can be, and the children really ask themselves questions you would never even imagine. They compare themselves to other kids at school, and they wonder, hey, you know, does mom or dad not really love me? I mean, my friend's moms and dad stay home with them, and mine doesn't, and they start to really question what's going on at home. And so I wanted to write a book that helped them through the transition and was told from the child's perspective so they could relate to the character, and also give a tool to the parents and the nanny during that transition to say, hey, this is something we're going to read together, and we're going to learn about this transition together.
That's really neat. And I imagine that that helps a lot of kids. Is that still available if they people search online right now if they're going to go through that? Can they still get the book?
Yes, sure can. You could, you know, buy it at Barnes & Noble, any place like that. Amazon, I hear you can get it next day or even same day sometimes, so that's awesome. You sure can. Go and find it anywhere. You can go to my website, too, windycitynanny.com, and it's available there.
All right, perfect. So we want to talk a little bit about Fortnite because, let's face it, for the young children these days, and I have three 13-year-olds at home, and they drive me insane with the idea of the Fortnite. And it's fine that it's funny. I had avoided letting them play any games, any shooting games their whole lives. And then when this came out, and they're kind of like, you know, they're 13, so I'm like, all right, it's fine. But I can't believe what an addiction it has become for so many kids. And, you know, we generally don't, what I do every Sunday night is I unplug the PS4 and I hide the cord. And then on Friday, I'll plug it back in as long as everything's, you know, copacetic in the house. And then over the weekend, they can play it, you know, a lot, quite honestly, probably more than I'd like, but they do. And but they have friends who literally every weekday home from school are playing it for 4 or 5 hours. And it's insane to me how much we've let this overtake. How much of a problem do you think that is if we're letting our kids have so much screen time like that?
I think it's typical that today's children, and definitely running the gamut of age-wise here, are spending too much time on technology. Now, I am definitely not a person that's ever going to condemn technology. I think everything in moderation, you know, that old saying is totally true. But the issue with technology today and how children are utilizing it, whether it's a tablet or whether it's a video game like you're talking about, is it's affecting the communication level of the children and the cognitive development of the children, especially when they're young. And so it is up to the parents, it is up to the caretakers to be limiting that technology time. And I understand that this world today, it's difficult to, you know, constantly be censoring your children. But it's also important and imperative that parents and caretakers do that so that children have the chance to get kind of old school and they socialize and they're spending time doing other things than just plugged into technology. And we're really doing them a disservice if we're not touting the fact that there are other ways to spend your time. But here's the issue. We as adults are addicted to technology ourselves. Yeah. I mean, how often are we scrolling on our iPhones or on our tablets as adults? How can we tell our children not to be doing it when we're addicted to technology? So we can't really be talking out of both sides of our mouths. You have to be talking the talk, walking the walk sort of situation.
Well, I don't, I'm not, you know, I don't play games on my phone, but I do check Twitter and Facebook and news sites way too often, more often than I should. My kids see me doing that all the time, so it is hard for me to, you know, lay down the law. But do I get a little, if we're not playing games, can we use that? Well, I'm not using it for games. I'm educating myself. I'm staying in touch with the world. Or is that not going to fly?
I mean, really, you can rationalize it any sort of way. I mean, I do it too. I sometimes get that update and have that update on the phone, like tells you now how often you were on your phone. I don't even know how that update happens, but now I'm upset because it tells me the percentage, and I get mad at my phone. I'm like, what are you doing? It's telling me what I'm doing, telling me I shouldn't be on my phone. You know, but it's kind of a sobering thought or a sobering, you know, sobering data to see. And you wonder, and I grew up kind of with a privilege where I kind of straddled both the analog and digital days. So I've seen that change. You know, I tell children all the time I used to write research papers without, you know, having to, you know, use a computer or do any research on Google or anything. And I was like, oh my gosh, how old are you? You're so ancient. How can you even be talking? You know, I've seen the transition. But the truth is, like I said, everything in moderation. It's not bad for children to be having fun and using an outlet like that. But anything that becomes addictive, anything that is too extreme is not going to be good for you. It's as simple as that.
Do you think with kids you've seen when you've been nannying and the kids that you've seen growing up these days, do you think they're going to have issues as adults? Both because maybe, I mean, listen, when I was a kid and the Atari came out and stuff like that, we spent hours and hours doing that. Or before that, kids going to arcades and stuff. But we, the better these games get, the more time we spend playing them, the less time we spend not only outside, but just interacting with other people. And now the kids have the headsets, which I don't like the idea of, because I know that other parenting experts I've talked to worry about bullying and all sorts of crazy stuff that goes on with the headsets and the video games. But they don't seem to be, and even just with the phones and texting and Snapchat, the interaction, the face-to-face interaction, or even just calling each other, you know, when we were kids, we called each other on the phone, and that was such a cool big deal. And now kids don't talk to each other on the phone. You call your kids, they do not want to answer. Like, why the hell are you calling me? Why aren't you sending me a text?
Can I just tell you, as a single girl, I have never received a phone call, I think, from a guy ever asking me on a date or even calling me to talk to me. It's all via text message now, and you've lost all of those social skills. So you're right. We are doing our kids a disservice as they grow up, where they're not forced to learn how to communicate in an old-fashioned way. And that's so sad that we have to call it an old-fashioned way. But here's the challenge I have for children is they're not always going to be kids. They're going to have to grow up, and they're going to have to go into the workforce. They're going to have careers. They're going to have to learn how to talk to people. They're going to have to be in front of people. They may have to give presentations. They have to network. They have to do all of these things. And if we're not exposing them from a young age to learn how to even talk to adults, we really are going to see a problem, and not just going to see it. I am seeing it now, where children are growing up without that level of respect that we used to have for adults or for people that were, you know, our bosses or in a position of power or whatever it might be. It is starting to be very evident from the kind of this new generation, and even millennials, I have to say, we're seeing a difference in how they interact, how they are with society today. So it's only going to get worse, because technology is only going to get better and better and more addictive. There's going to be something else that's going to be just like Fortnite one day that is going to be the new thing that everyone's into, and it's going to be, you know, an obsession. So it's about setting those values and those parameters in your family always as a consistent thing for the duration of you raising your children, that this is just how we do things in our household, so that you're raising them with the values and the intentions that are only going to help them as they get older.
Well, and that's part of the problem too, isn't it, Florence, that, you know, we hear so many stories, and I have two different friends who are bosses at different companies. And they have talked to me about kids who they're hiring or talking about hiring, who either come to the interviews with their parents, or once they've been hired and, like, you know, after they've been there a year or whatever and they get their raise, cost of living raise, whatever it is, get a call from a parent saying, well, you know, so-and-so should really be, and the parents are stepping in. I mean, we joke about helicopter parents, but I worry that not only are we letting our kids not learn social skills as young adults that they need to when they get in the real world, but then we're continuing to take on these things for them and protect them in ways that aren't helping them at all.
Well, there's a big coddling issue here. I mean, and like you said, the helicopter parents, but it's more than just that. It's this dirty word, this F word that no one wants to use, and it's not the word that you think it is. The word I'm referring to is failure. God forbid our children fail now. And we're, oh my gosh, it drives me crazy, makes my skin crawl thinking how bad that is as a result for these children, because the real world hurts. The real world is not fair. Yeah. And when you pad the walls for your kid growing up, they get to the real world and the air hurts, and and they think everyone is against them and they deserve everything. It's our entitlement issue. So we're raising a very interesting, you know, breed of young adults here. And it's not good for them, because not everybody is going to live by those rules that you had in your home. But that's the case no matter what. You know, you can't expect that the world is going to be raised the exact way you were.
Right.
But the problem is, we're starting to find that this way of raising these millennial children is starting to be the standard. And that's what I take issue with, is that's not how it should be.
Boy, don't you and I sound like a couple of crotchety old people just headed for the home to scream and get off my lawn at everybody that walks by?
Can I tell you something, though? I am 33 years old. I am not ashamed
you're really young.
Right, but I'm considered an old millennial. So, I mean, I tout this stuff, and people are like, you know, you're a disgrace to your own kind. And I'm like, no,
You've turned on your people. That's funny. All right, so let me ask you then, Florence, before we go, let's give some tips. So if parents see themselves falling into this trap and they worried about their kids heading off to high school and college, and how are they going to socialize and are they going to know how to do these things, what advice do you give to people? What steps should they take to try to be better about it? Because like you said, we worry about it, but we've fallen into it too, even as adults. I'm a Gen Xer, so I'm older than you, but I use the phone all the time. I do all these things. But at the same time, I definitely want to not set my kids up to, you know, we want them to fail now and to learn to interact with each other and do all these things so that they're not afraid to fail when they get older. So what should we be doing differently?
Right. I think it's not a bad idea to get a little old school. And I go back to this with the idea of maybe going back to having family dinners where you're actually talking at the table. Maybe it's not even for an hour. Maybe it's 20 minutes, but you're sitting down and you all put your phones in a drawer and you're actually talking to each other. It's starting small. I mean, I'm not asking to reinvent the wheel here with families, because I understand how busy and how overextended families are, and the extracurriculars children are a part of are insane. But it's just having technology hours in your home. If you're able to do that, I think that's a fantastic way of starting. It also then leads to control for you, the parent, and also the nannies and caretakers, who are an extension of the values in your home. It's just making sure that there are standards and house rules, and you get to decide what those are. But if children know what the boundaries are, they're more likely going to respect it, and they may kick and scream if you start doing this now, and it's okay, they'll get over it. That's my advice to you. But you're doing them a favor if you're going to start doing something like that in your home. And it's only going to help them when they get older to know that there was structure in their lives. You know, don't let your kids run it. You know, you're the parent. You're the caretaker. You need to take control. So start small. Just start implementing technology hours and start walking the walk as the parent too, where you give them your attention when you're talking to them. You're not scrolling on Facebook while you're talking to them. You're actually looking at them and having a conversation.
What about the concept of failure? Where have you seen parents go wrong with trying to overprotect their kids and trying to always tell them, you know, it's not a big deal? Well, I guess it's not a big deal, because that's what we'd want to say when you fail is, hey, it's not a big deal. You're going to fail. You tried. You changed things, whatever. What do parents tend to do that make you worried about kids not learning that it's okay to fail at things?
Well, I'm seeing it in the school system where, you know, we used to live in a world where, you know, teachers were respected, you know, where parents didn't get so involved. They went to the parents' fair. They did get involved, but they went to parent-teacher conferences, and they believed the teacher, and they were on the same side as the teacher. Now I feel that they're on opposite sides, and more likely that the parents are going to be taking the side of their child and against the teacher. And there are times when that should happen. Believe me, I was sure. When I was younger, a teacher called me stupid, so my mom had to get involved. And believe me, she should have gotten involved in that case. But we also need to be teaching our children that their educators are to be respected. And if there's a problem, there's a way to deal with that, and they need to see a constructive way of dealing with that instead of attacking. It's incredible what children pick up. You know, they're like sponges, as they say, and they are absorbing everything they're seeing around them regarding your behavior. And you're also seeing it from a competitive level. Now we're giving awards to every single child for every single thing because, God forbid, they don't feel special. And, you know, that's not the way to do it. Because life is a competition, and they have to learn to get up and dust off and do it again and fail and all those things, and they can't be afraid of it. And you, as a parent, can't make them think that failure is bad or that it equates them with being unworthy or weak or anything like that. They need to learn that is going to be a gift in their life to learn lessons. So it's up to you, as being a proactive parent or a nanny or caretaker, whoever it is, influencing the child, to let them know that this is how life goes and you learn from it.
Yeah. I think it's also important that we be open about our own failures. You know, that we don't make our kids think that we never failed anything. I often tell my own kids, or if I ever speak to students, you know, I've been fired from 3 different jobs in my life. And, you know, that's okay. There were terrible times when they happened. They were very rough, but you learn things from that. You move on, you know, as a business owner, whatever, everything is got the possibility of failure. And if you're so afraid of failure, you'll never take a risk. You'll never know the joys of the true successes.
Beautifully said. I mean, transparency is key, and you've really hit on something important and something I believe to be true in the relationship of, you know, parent and child, is you do need to talk about the things that happened in your life, but that transparency promotes trust. And you want your children to have a relationship with you where they can talk to you about anything. And this is a fine line between them being, you know, your friend when they're younger, when they need a parent, not a friend. You know, eventually they can become your friend, but there's that foundation. And, you know, there are so many temptations and so many issues in this world today, like you mentioned, the bullying, things where these children really do need a safe place to land. And the first place they should go is their parents or their family or whomever it is in their life that is their safe place. So do promote that idea of transparency to help them feel not so alone and a place for them to lean on. And that takes time. That takes work. It doesn't just happen overnight that you have a relationship like that with your child or your children. So make a point to do that.
She is the Windy City Nanny. You can find her at windycitynanny.com. Florence Ann Romano, she has a book called Nanny and Me. If you know anybody who's going to be using a nanny or a kid who's getting used to that, this might be a great book for them to talk to their kids about it. Nanny and Me, you can find it online and in bookstores. And Florence, I need to congratulate you. We just got through the holiday season. I was thinking about this before we started talking. Kind of a rough, you know, nannies get a bad name in movies and things like that, right? I'm trying to think about the positive spin. I'm thinking of The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. I'm thinking of Fran Drescher. There's not a great, you know, even at least Babysitters had the Elizabeth Shue Adventures in Babysitting movie, which was kind of cute, but there's no good positive nanny role models out there in popular culture.
Well, thank you for mentioning it. I'd like to think that I'm trying to write that that situation. You know, nannies do get a bad rap, but, you know, the truth is over 60% of families in America have a nanny. So you see, you know, these magazines splashed with all of this salacious gossip about, you know, who's cheating with the nanny this week.
And the celebrities are ruining it for everybody.
True.
Yeah, the celebrities are ruining it for everybody, right?
Yes.
Damn that Ben Affleck.
Exactly. I mean, I look at it all the time and I think, oh, God, the world thinks this is what's going on. So, and it's not the case. You know, these are people that really love your children and you can trust around your spouse, you know, but I'm not saying that it doesn't happen either. So let's also be, you know, careful and aware of that. But at the same time, you know, a nanny and a caretaker is a really important part of a child's life. And it's such a different world today regarding how nannies are utilized in a family. So paying attention to that is really important.
Well, and it's just such a necessary thing because we live in this, you know, two-income culture. It's not going to get, we're never going to go back to, the, you know, the 40s where one spouse is generally working and one spouse can stay home. It's just not the economy we live in, right? So I would think that the nanny profession is just going to grow and grow.
Yeah, it's not a trend. I mean, this is a part of our culture now. And you also have to think about the way the world has changed in terms of the dynamics of the family. It's not traditional anymore. So, you know, you're seeing single moms and single dads and gay parents and parents that have decided to, you know, have children on their own, you know, without a spouse, you know, moms and dads who decide to do it on their own.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's all changed. And you have to think, these families, whatever form they are in, have to have help raising these children. So we're writing that statistic right now as to whether or not it's going to be a positive or negative thing that we have other people helping influence our children. And I believe it is a good thing. I believe it is positive and wonderful. But it comes down to who you're picking to do that. So that's my platform regarding childcare in the new millennium.
WindyCityNanny.com for more information. Florence Ann Romano, we'll talk again. Thank you so much for being on the phone with us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Have a great night and a great weekend. All right, we've got news coming up next, 720 WGN.